Well, I feel like we could close in prayer because Eleni really covered so much. When I read, thank you, Dawn. When I read her testimony, I was like, there's not much else to say. I mean, there is, but I'm just going to expound pretty much on some of the things God has taught you. And so thank you for sharing. It's so cool to see people that I've known for, I've known Pat for 22 years, as long as we've been here. So it's really cool to see how God has, and then you when you were in junior high, like Dawn said, we all kind of met at the same time. But it's amazing to watch how God's grown you, both how you're married, have kids, and continue to serve the Lord. So thank you for doing that. You minister to our church in a huge way. So, and even though I don't have little people anymore, it's a huge blessing. So for those of you that don't know me, Dawn gave a little blurb, and I don't want to go much further than that, but I inherited another child this last year because my son got married, so now I have five. They're in Illinois, so JT is my oldest. They're in Illinois. He's a youth pastor there, and I miss them terribly, but I'm so thankful for what God's doing in their lives there and using them in the kingdom of God, which is so cool, and I've prayed for that my whole life. Before his whole life, that I would have children in full-time ministry. So that has been an answer to prayer. I have a daughter who will graduate from master's in May, and she's at home currently for this semester, aiming to be a teacher one day. And then Joey and Jack are at Murrieta Valley High School, and they're in the high school ministry here, and they're 17 and 15. So we've been in youth ministry. As Dawn said, we're in junior high currently. We've been in youth ministry 26 out of the 27 years we've been married. That's crazy. We were in children's ministry for a year. And that was during a time that we just needed to step away and take some time for us to kind of evaluate. Not that children's ministry is a lesser ministry. It's not. But it's just something that we chose to serve for a season. So it's cool to see how God has kind of brought us or kept us in youth ministry. So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm sorry. So I know you guys have been going through the study on wisdom and how you can be a wise woman in all areas of your life. So I've listened to some of them, and they've been certainly challenging for me, and I hope you've been blessed by the women who have come to speak. But also, we've been hearing from Proverbs on Sunday morning. So those of you that are from FBC, not the Menifee one, the other one. We've been going through the Proverbs, and it's been super convicting. So you're going to hear some things that I've even learned in the last few weeks from hearing from the preaching of the Word of God there. But this morning, I have the privilege of looking at the topic of redeeming the time. And I say the time, it's not our time, it's God's time. And so just to keep that first and foremost. And again, Eleni has a lot of things that she kind of used this morning, and it's so helpful, and I wish I would have just written all those things down and just reset them because they're really helpful. But if you were in church a few weeks back, John Plesnick spoke on fearing the Lord from the book of Proverbs, which is basically a book of wisdom. And wisdom, as we know, is taking knowledge and truth and applying it to our lives. And I would say that a lot of us know truth, but we don't know always how to apply it. And wisdom is the ability to take it and apply it to life, and we need to be trained to do that. That's not super easy, and the Proverbs is there for us, though, to look at. And I have the fear of the Lord. If you can skip to the next slide, two slides, just a couple verses. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And it would be prudent and wise for us to heed the weight and truth of this verse. The word fear means terror or reverence. We must first, obviously, be saved to have wisdom in our lives, to be wise women, and it's only those who know him personally that have the ability to grow in wisdom. So the fear of the Lord, I would say, first and foremost, you have to acknowledge that you should stand in terror and awe of who he is, because we don't deserve anything that he's given us. We don't deserve to be forgiven. Our sin has created problems for us in that regard. And so to truly know wisdom and how to live wisely, we must be saved. And we also must sit in awe and reverence at his word. Loving what he loves and hating what he hates is what we as moms aim to do, right? And yesterday was a good reminder of that. Loving what God loves, but especially hating what he hates. Misplaced fear was another one that will bring anxiety, fear, depression, chaos, which is foolish. And fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we make choices every day with our time that are either wise or foolish. And I would say that in the Proverbs, typically wisdom is believers and foolishness is unbelievers. So you got to really look at, okay, this is what I'm aiming to be is wise, not foolish. So how can I avoid foolishness? And I know Moms by Grace is designed for moms with preschool aged children and younger. So some of you have older and younger. Some of you don't have children yet. And you will, or soon, the impending, it's coming. So I want to address this specific season in your life as it relates to redeeming our time and being good stewards of the time God has given us. Ecclesiastes 3:1, the verses up there, says that for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And I would say, and you could say, that seasons change quite a bit in our lives. Even from the point that we have a child, 2 months later, it's kind of a different season. And then 4 months later, and then 6 months. Every seasons are changing constantly for women. And I'm in a different season, and your group leader is in a different season, perhaps. But your friends might be in the same season. So seasons change. But God's word remains timeless and applicable in every single season of your life. So I want to be brief and practical, and I said that this morning because last time I spoke, I went way too long. So I'm going to kind of plow through what I have here for you this morning. So here we go. How can moms of infants, toddlers, school-aged children make the best use of their time? Stop and ask yourself 5 questions, and that's on one of the slides, so you can kind of read along as I read some of these questions for self-evaluation. Number 1, do you plan ahead to maximize your fruitfulness each day? Or do you simply let life happen? Eleni talked about being very specific in her scheduling. I did the same thing, right? Mondays we do laundry. Tuesdays we do, and so on and so forth. I did that with meals too because, yeah, it wasn't restrictive. It's very freeing to have that kind of schedule. But do you plan ahead to maximize your fruitfulness each day? Number 2, do you make choices based on God's word or on what feels good at the moment? And I love the better, best, good, better, best principle as well for that. Do you maximize do you strategize to use your talents to bless your family and church? Or do you employ them primarily for your own personal fulfillment or personal goals? 4, I'm laughing, who's calling me? Didn't put it on, do not disturb. Number 4, do you evaluate every opportunity in light of biblical priorities? Or do you do whatever it takes to get ahead? Number 5, do you consider whom God would have you serve? Or do you try to please everyone all the time? I'm kind of like that. That's my bent. I'll say yes to everything, and I'm not good at saying no. I've grown a ton in that because you have to say no. So if you could turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 5:15-16. If you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. Eleni, you addressed this verse, and I'm just going to read it for you. I have a slide for it as well. I think it says, yep, at the top, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So one of the fruits of wisdom, so that application, that walking, is the ability to use our time wisely. So wise women are going to grow in this area if we're walking with the Lord. So the number 1, plan with care. How are we going to do this? Number 1, look carefully then how you walk. This is a command, right? Look carefully. It means to walk with accuracy and extreme care. We aren't to walk blindly and just let life happen, only concerning ourselves with the present moment, my baby needs to eat, or whatever, but rather look around, evaluate, examine with discerning eyes the choices we make today and how they're going to affect us or our child or our families in the future. So it's not just about today, right? Carolyn Mahaney compares this careful planning to a shopping trip, and one of the resources that I'll put up on a slide at the end is Shopping for Time, and her daughters wrote this, but in there she says you wouldn't dream of walking through a clothing store with your eyes closed, picking up whatever you touched and hope it turned into a wardrobe of some sort, right? You wouldn't do that in the grocery store either. You wouldn't just throw everything in your cart and assume that it's gonna come, you know, create this gourmet meal, which some people have the ability to do, but you don't do that. There's careful planning. We walk through our clothing stores, eyes open, considering style, price, quality before purchasing. That's disgusting. Can someone get it? Danielle, who lives on a farm? Lauren? It's a lizard. Sorry. I'm like, someone lives on land. I don't like lizards, although they're all over my backyard. Thank you, ladies. She loves them. Wait, does she like them? You don't like them either. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. I have a lot of lizards at home, but I don't like them. Sorry. We didn't plan that. So back to, you wouldn't go through a clothing store. So that's where I was at. But and you would consider things. You would think through things. So this should also characterize the way we plan our days, is careful planning. So the three areas in which careful planning is required is number one, or A, time with God. I have my timer on, so I want to keep it on. Are you in His Word daily, praying, worshiping? That's something that kind of goes by the wayside. And just so thankful, Lenny, you share. Just that's so, and you're going to hear this throughout the whole message, because that is my heartbeat for you women to get, is that time, daily time, praying and worshiping, having a plan. Do you have a plan? Do you need a plan? There's people who can help you with that. Fools, so over here, those unbelievable fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to be in their Bibles. They don't want to know what God has to say about their life. The Bible says that you're a fool if you neglect the wisdom of God, and the only way to gain wisdom is to sit and worship God daily, to fear Him. Jesus condemns the disciples for sleeping while He's pouring out His heart and soul in the Garden of Gethsemane right before His impending death on the cross. And He says, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? And that's in Matthew 26. That's convicting, right? I mean, the God of the universe, He's going to the cross, and the few select men He has are sleeping, which is normal, right? That's, we need sleep, but we need Christ way more. Few practical suggestions in making time with God and planning out that in your life. Read through 1 Peter every day for 6 months. Like, read the same thing over and over. It will settle in your heart, and you'll start to dwell on those things, and when your mind goes somewhere that it shouldn't, you're going to come back to those things that you're reading. I committed to memorizing 1 Peter this year with a few women, and that's a big challenge, but I think in the parking stretch, waiting for kids to pick up, those are the things. Get those 3x5 cards out. Memorize scripture. I'm not good at it, and I really, the Lord was impressing that upon my heart. Like, I need to be a woman who knows the word and knows scripture. And so reading the same thing every day for 6 months. Read a Proverbs a day. Today's the ninth. So you read Proverbs 9. That's a real simple way to start reading your Bibles. It's a simple way to encourage your kids to read their Bibles. I love the Proverbs. That was one of the things that, like, okay, kids, it's this date, you're going to read this Proverbs, and it's just helpful. Set a timer and read for 10 minutes. You don't think you have time? Set a timer. 10 minutes a day praying and reading God's word. Set spiritual goals, right? We want to be intentional with our walk with the Lord. And yes, it's daily dependence, but it's also obedience. We got to do it. And so set goals. What do you want God to do in your life the next 6 months? How about a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? Certainly you should do this with your children. Where do you want to see them in a year? Where do you want to see them? So really, it starts with us moms to develop these patterns in our life where we're really thinking through why we do what we do, and have some goals. So what do you want to see God do in your life? So there's a few practical suggestions there. Secondly, loving your husband. Titus 2:4, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. So this love is not the agape love, that self-sacrificing, like, I love you no matter what, I would die for you. This is the phileo. This is like the friendship, the fond affection type of love. It's a like. So older women, we need to train the younger women, because that doesn't come naturally, to like their husbands. You're like, I love my husband. Do you like him? Some days you don't. And some days it's hard. And so that's the training piece, but it's a command for us to train and for you to like your husband. So do you have a plan to be a good wife? Do you plan to be? Do you think of ways to bless your husband on a daily basis? Ha, you have all that. So you have the practical pieces that I'm sure your eyes went to that last one. But do you neglect your husband because you're too busy caring for your kids, or they're sleeping between you? Or others, you're caring for others. So here's some practical suggestions simply to plan to care and love your husband. Plan a 24-hour day together and find a babysitter. You can leave your baby for 24 hours. Unless you're nursing, you can pump. But I didn't like pumping, so maybe just wait. But, you know, that's important to do in every season. Okay, when your babies are little, it's important to take time with your husband. Send notes or texts of affection throughout the day. Stop what you're doing. Greet him at the door when he comes home. Ask your husband how you're doing as a wife. And ask him to be specific and be willing to hear. So make sure that there's a time when you're willing to hear and he's willing to speak. And make him think through that. And not just give you, oh, you're great. Right? Because the next one, that has a lot to do with it. But initiate sex once a week. Commit to doing that. Plan to do that. That would speak volumes to your husband. Just that alone. Right? Older women. The third thing is loving your children. So time with the Lord. Love your husband. Love your children. Titus 2:4, same thing. Train the young women to love their husbands, to like your children, to enjoy them. To be happy that you have them, even when you're in the store and they're screaming. Just say, thank you, Lord, because you know what? This is humbling, right? If that was me in a store and they were screaming, that's humbling. That's for me, okay? Maybe that's my pride, and I have a lot of it. And so God constantly, through my children, would humble me and remind me that this is so good, and I'm so thankful that I get to stay home and raise these kids, and I get to come out in public, and I get to go back home and train them, because that was coming. That's the whole point. And even training in public, that's limited, but home is where that happens. So do you have plans for your children? What do you desire for each of your children? They're all different. Some, you know, might be similar, but they're all different and unique. Why you discipline for some things and not others? Why have you thought through how you parent and the things you're gonna discipline for? And some of the areas, though, that I thought that I've seen, I think that you need to really think through before you have kids. And most of you already have kids, so you're not late. This is by God's sovereignty and design and providence that you hear now. But you need to think through some of these things. Feeding. I have that huge list. Demand versus scheduling. Sleeping. Are you going to allow the child to dictate? Are you going to dictate? Whining. How are you going to deal with whining? Are you going to make excuses? Are you going to be clear in your discipline? Are you going to think through, how am I going to respond? See, look carefully then. You're thinking through, how am I going to plan to like and love my children? Obedience. Are you going to require first time with a happy heart? Or are you going to allow delayed obedience? Or are you going to allow them to ignore your commands? You have to think through, what am I going to do when this happens? Because it will happen. All these things will happen. If they haven't, then they will. Speech. What kind of speech are you going to allow? You're going to allow them to say whatever they want and think it's cute and videotape it, and you know what, you got to think through those things. Are you going to allow them to talk potty talk or say certain things versus edifying speech? Crying, emotions. Are you going to let them emote whenever and wherever they want? Or are you going to help them learn self-control? Right? There's whys. Why would you do that? To think through why. Even writing these things down and having a plan with your husband. Sharing. Are you going to teach them to share? Are you going to teach them that it's okay to say mine because I had it first? Or are you going to teach them to be others-minded and that God owns everything anyways? Education. Are you going to make those decisions based on fear or trust? Occupation. Are you going to pray them into the mission field, into ministry? Are you going to pray them to be a doctor and a lawyer and all these grand things? Those aren't bad. I'm just saying, think through. Why am I doing this? Alex Montoya preached the other week on evangelism, and he just nailed us parents for praying our children. How many of us pray our children into the mission field? You know, which one of us wants our kids to go to Timbuktu? You know, and I love that because I want that. I want to be that mom that says, I want to have faith and courage, and I want my kids to be great in the kingdom of God. Not me, even though I want to be grandma and I want them to be close. I want them to be, they're the Lord's, they're not mine. So young moms, you won't redeem 16 hours of your day. Yes, you have 16 hours. If you sleep 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours, you have 16 hours in a day. And if you don't plan and evaluate your walk with the Lord, the way you love your husband, the way you love your children, you won't go anywhere, right? You aim at nothing. So we won't redeem that time if we don't think through and work at being intentional with those relationships and those things. So the next thing you have to do is practice with care. So we have planning. So being intentional, thoughtful, with everything, with those three big areas, time with the Lord, husband, children. Second, practice with care. The next part of that verse says, not as unwise, but as wise. So this is where the rubber meets the road, right? The practicing of redeeming time. So a few things, and there's so many things, and Lenny brought up a handful of things as well, very practical. But the first thing I said is rise early. Some of you guys don't have a choice. Your kids are up early. But I think that practice of rising early is a really good practice at every season of life. There's obviously certain times when kids are sick and you're sick that rising early is impossible. But Psalm 5:3 says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. Mark 1:35, and I think this, yes, has up there too. Speaking about Jesus says, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And John Piper writes this about spending time with the Lord in the early morning. I earnestly recommend that it be in the early morning, unless there are some extenuating circumstances. Entering the day without a serious meeting with God over his word and in prayer is like entering the battle without tending to your weapons. The human heart does not replenish itself with sleep. The human heart. No, the body does, right? Not the heart. We replenish our hearts not with sleep, but with the word of God and prayer. So does your daily schedule reflect your priorities? It does reflect your priorities. What is the first thing you do in the morning? What's the most important thing? Is it looking at your phone or the news or the weather or Facebook or whatever it is? Maybe it's your child. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's food. Whatever it is, what's the most important thing to you? The first thing you do in the morning. One of the benefits to rising early is it allows yourself the ability to make the most important things most important. It's just a way to identify what is most valuable to you. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. We're in the business of building our homes, right? We're our desire is to see our children love Jesus and care for our homes, but we can't do that in our own strength. It says, unless the Lord builds the house. So all our running around, all our ministry, all our things are useless unless the Lord builds it. And the only way the Lord's going to build it is if we give it. We say, Lord, build it. The Lord's going to do what he wants. But how much better when we come under and allow him to be the central, the main focus and main priority. I think some of the reasons why it's hard to rise early, and you can attest to this, I can too, is because we stay up late. Watching TV, maybe scrolling social media, finishing the things we didn't get to do during the day because we weren't planning, we weren't scheduling. Perhaps it's reading a book or it's girl time. We see that. It's not wrong. I don't think these things are wrong in and of themselves, but good, better, best, I think about that. As it relates to the patterns of your life. If the pattern of your life is always up late, always staying up late, to the neglect of getting up and meeting with the Lord, then you should stop and consider changing some things. I would venture to say that other things are also being neglected as well, such as maybe being prepared in the morning, feeding your kids a healthy breakfast. I know my mom did that every day. She would make us breakfast every day. And so that is something that I do. I still do it. It's kind of silly because I don't know if my boys know how to cook. And I really do want them to know how to cook some things. They do. But they kind of depend on that. And that's my opportunity to serve them first thing in the morning. But it prevents you from doing serving your family, essentially. And service to your family should be right up there, right, under your time with the Lord. That's huge. I'd like to interject a verse and a little concern I've had. I've seen kind of patterns in the church and in the younger, you know, generation with their shows. You know, I stay up late because that's when I can watch my shows. And Eleni, you kind of mentioned this too. Like, you don't realize it sucks you in. And I can attest to this. I'm not perfect. I've done it before. I'm like, dang, I just went through that whole series. It's so captivating. And I thought, I'm like, how much time did I just waste? But we're being entertained. Well, first of all, Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So I'm exposing them. Another verse that Plesnik drew our attention to yesterday is Proverbs 15:9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. So one of the things he talked about yesterday was what we're being entertained by. And there's a lot of shows that I find that many people are watching. The Bachelor, Game of Thrones, Riverdale. There's these things. I'm familiar with them. But just to name a few, that really Christian women should have no business watching, right? Because if we're really intent on loving what God loves and hating what he hates, we wouldn't be entertained by that. MacArthur says of Ephesians 5:11, Paul's instruction is plain and direct. Christians are to faithfully live in righteousness and purity and have nothing at all to do with evil ways and works of Satan in the world. The two ways of living are unalterably opposed to each other and mutually exclusive. And so think about that too when we're, when our desire is to pursue righteousness, but also as we're trying to redeem time. We can't be wasters of time. And this is a huge waster of time. And so as we grow to be more like Jesus, we will hate what he hates, but we can't do that unless we're in God's word and we're using our time wisely and making the main thing, which is Christ and his glory. And so just keep that in mind. It's simple though. Getting to bed early allows you to rise early because you do need sleep. And there's lots of studies that show that, but we know that. We need sleep. We know what sleep deprivation does, right? It's you get hangry. Wait, that's hungry. Never mind. That's the other one. I forget the word for sleep deprivation. Anyways, most moms with infants, but that's not an excuse for sin. But don't you find that your guard's down a little bit when you don't get enough sleep? You want to sit and watch a TV show. That's what I do. That's where I go when I'm tired, when I don't get enough sleep, is I go to those things. And so that's where I've had to go, can't do it, you know. Secondly, sitting still. So rising early, sitting still. A lost art in our day. Psalm 62:1 says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. And I think that, yes. From him comes my salvation. Verse 5 says, for God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. He's like commanding his heart. Wait in silence. Meditate. Listen. Hear. For my hope is from him. There is something about sitting still that allows us to stop, to focus, think, meditate. That's a lost art. And I'm guilty. This is very hard for me. And it's always been. I'm like I'm busy. And you probably have kids like that. So I can relate. I had kids like that too. But sitting still and training that, even in my own heart, has helped me understand the value of training my kids to sit still, to listen, to think, to stop, to focus. So not only for us as moms, but for our children as well. The Lord commands us in Psalm 46:10, he says, be still. And I hear him say that to me, be still and know that I am God. Because it forces me to stop and look up because I'm so small. He is so big. He is so powerful. I am nothing. That's what it does to you. And that's why it's important. It puts you in your rightful place. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Martha, we know our little Mary and Martha, didn't do a very good job of this in Luke 10, right? While her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, Jesus said that Mary has chosen the good portion. I'm not sure if I put that verse up there. It's kind of a long portion of scripture. But the key to successful time management is to sit still and be with Jesus first and foremost. He's going to give you the wisdom you need to figure out what you need to be doing. Nothing could be more important than sitting still at Jesus' feet like Mary did and worship the Savior, right? Mary has chosen the good portion. But like Martha, we're distracted with the urgent needs. Okay, so urgent needs, a crying child, a friend in crisis, I've got to get dinner on, I've got to get this kids to school, I have company, oh, I have a job, I got to work at home, or I go out to work. Those are urgent needs. And those urgent needs will dictate how we use our time unless we set intentional quiet time, sitting still in His Word, prayerfully considering His desires for the day. Before we busy our days with tending to the urgent needs, which are super important, okay, they are, or turning, we tend to turn to different things, okay? So instead, before we busy our days with tending to urgent needs or turning to the internet, friends, or books to solve our problems, turn the other direction. Turn to a closet. I don't know, somewhere quiet. Maybe there is nowhere quiet. Put your apron over your head. I think it wasn't that Susanna Wesley. She just think. I'm not sure. Put her apron over her head. Her kids knew. She's praying. She's with the Lord. Like, you need to give mom time. And they knew it. And I'm sure they knew it when they were one and two and three and four, right? This was a pattern in her life. And I want it to be a pattern in our lives as ladies that we run to our closets. We run to the Lord for help instead of running to the internet and to look up, well, my baby has a rash. Da-da-da-da. You know, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but we do that first. How much more valuable to go to the great physician and to say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me not fear. Help me not to be anxious. You love my child. You have their life in your hands. They're not going to live one more day than they're supposed to. That's what I mean. It's the heart. It's getting it under submission. It's submitting to the Lord. So sitting still allows you to acknowledge the Lord, His promises, His attributes, and offer your day to Him for His glory. Thirdly, service. So rising early, sitting still, and serving. Serving is foundational to a believer. Christians serve. Let's go back to Luke 10, right? And look at Jesus' rebuke to Martha. Martha was distracted, it says, with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, what? You are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing's necessary right now. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. He wasn't condemning her for serving. He was condemning her or rebuking her for being anxious and troubled. And I think it was because her sister wasn't doing what she thought was important in the moment. Martha was attending to the urgent needs. She was attending to the urgent needs. And Mary was tending to her Savior. So it's not that each are exclusive. Both are important. But in the moment, Mary chose what was best. Don't think that we're free to neglect all our urgent needs, all the daily responsibilities, and sit at Jesus' feet. That is not what this passage teaches. Scripture's clear that we have much to do as women. Just read Proverbs 31. There is, and we're going to do that in a bit here. And you'll see all your responsibilities. There's a lot. So who are we to serve? In your season of life, ladies, I would say your husband and family first, your church family second, and your community third. Like, that's the priority. Your husband and family come first, and then your church family. So which of those three take up most of your time? And we have, and we're going to do this too, it's in one of your handouts, to look through and how are you using your time? What are you doing? It would be really foolish for you to be serving in the community, being a teen mom or PTA, sitting on this board and that board, if you never serve the church family, right? So let me give you some examples in this season of your life that you can serve the church and use your gifts. Before using your gifts, you got to show up faithfully to church, okay? And show up to all the means of graces that God's offered you at your churches, right? We represent a few churches here. That should be a high priority in every season. There's not a season of my life and your life that we get a pass on showing up. Yes, kids get sick, that happens, and we stay home because that is important to get our kids healthy. However, showing up on time, putting your kids in childcare, and taking advantage of undistracted time hearing God's word is foundational to your spiritual growth. Your kids will be fine. I think there's a lie that we believe when we think that we're the most superior caretakers for our kids. It's a lie. It's not true. They must learn to submit to authority, play with other kids, build their immune system. The only way to build it is by getting sick. You know that, right? It's true. It starts with simple decisions. Listen to what Jesus says is true blessedness and happiness. My friend texted me this and I was like, whoa! Luke 11, 27 and 28 says, and he said these things. As he said these things, so Jesus speaking, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And he said, oh, no, no. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. He really just, mom, no, we are not it. God is it. His word, observing, sitting under, trusting God with our children. They're not our children. They're his children. Trusting God with his children. You're like that? Okay. That's different. He knows. Sit under God's word. So huge. Before you even think about serving, you got to be faithful to go, to hear, to listen. But some gifts that you can do while you're home with small children, listen, that is your priority. That your husband and family need you. Gifts of giving. You love to give. Send notes to pastors and leaders. Give gifts to missionaries. There's ways you can give and be a mom of small children in the church. Gifts of teaching. Be a Sunday school teacher. Sunday mornings. Children's. Minister to other mom's kids. Gifts of mercy. Pray like crazy and visit the elderly with your kids. Gifts of exhortation. Disciple while your kids are napping. Talk about a schedule. You have meals planned. You have time to meet with someone for an hour or two while your kids are napping. Or take a walk and find a young woman to invest in, or a friend to invest in, or a new believer to invest in. There's ways that you can use your gifts of exhortation without having this formal, being in a formal ministry that takes and requires a lot of more time. And, you know, youth ministry is taxing in some ways, and we've done it. I've done it through several seasons of my life, or all seasons, I guess. And so there's real creative ways, and that's perhaps why I had to be really intentional with scheduling my cleaning and my meals and their nap times, and because that allowed, it freed John and I up to serve. And so that, we wanted that, and we planned to do that. But gifts of serving. Make meals for new moms and sick, right? There's new moms every week. Someone's having a baby or having surgery, right? That's a way you can, within the realm of your home, serve the body. Gifts of administration. You have a computer. Do that computer work while your kids are napping or sleeping. There's ways you can serve the church in your home. Don't think that you have to go outside and go, 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 and neglect those little people that are watching you. It is a joint effort, but you have to be mindful of how you train them in that, because if they're wandering off disobeying and you're trying to disciple, that doesn't work. You're modeling something very different than what you're teaching. Because your kids need to be first. So there's some wisdom, and you can talk to some older women. They might be able to help you, and that's one of the things. But Charles Spurgeon said, quote, we ought to be Martha and Mary in one. So we do both. We do much service and much communion all at the same time. For this, we need great grace. Because it's easier to serve than commune, right? It's easier to go help someone and neglect your time with the Lord. So to summarize, we must first be faithful to plan, to be intentional planners, thinking through why we do what we do, then practice with care by rising early, sitting still, and serving. Last, we're going to look at purpose with care. Last few minutes here. Making the most of your time, for the days are evil. Last part of the verse. Now, I want to get specific with how to make the most of our time. Paul tells us why. Because we live in an evil world, and these days are evil. We need to be about making the best decisions with our time. It means we say no to 1,000 good things to choose the best things, remembering that God is the one who has chosen the exact season you're in today. For some of you, it may be a sick parent or a husband that's out of work or a wayward teen, if some of you guys have teens, health issues, and the list can go on. But humble moms who desire to make the most of every day must choose carefully. The first area I want to look at quickly is your daily schedule. And I have a form there and probably do that later at some time, but I want you to take time this week to write down everything you do during the day. Take a typical day in your week and write it down. It's good for your eyes to see what you do and to think through that, right? That kind of has to do with point one. And there's a template for that that you can download Google somewhere. I found it somewhere. But Proverbs 31, I'm not going to read it all because it's really long and I go off subject, and so I am pressed for time. But Proverbs 31 is a great thing to look at. This isn't a real woman. We can't do it all. This is like Wonder Woman. But there are responsibilities that we have to do as women. We have to make good choices in our clothing, and we have to grocery shop, and we have to rise early and make daily preparations. We need to be financially savvy. We need to be fit and healthy. We need to be prepared. We need to scrub toilets and mop, and we need to care about the community, and we need to make sure our kids are clean and appropriately dressed. We need to care about what we look like. We need to be rooted in God's word. We need to be industrious. There are so many things we need to do, right? And we can't do any of it apart from God, but I want you to think through, are you lazy, right? Are you serving? Are you doing all these things? From Proverbs 31, to take a look at and evaluate, does my schedule reflect any of these? What am I doing with my time, okay? And go back and circle and discern. Like, what do I need to cut out to do my mopping and my cleaning? What do I need to, you know? So that's a very practical way to look at it. Proverbs 31, take your schedule, write it down, evaluate. Number two, evaluate your friendships. The next area that we as women, we're very relational, but you gotta think about the friends you keep and the friends you have. And they're gonna change from season to season, right? Different ministries bring different people, different seasons of life bring different people in your life. But once or twice a year, and this was in one of the books I read, to evaluate your friendships, okay? So let's do that real quickly. I gave you a little friendship thing, and I know that seems really weird, and not many people do this, but why is it important? Because a lot of our time spent is with people. You know, sometimes, not always. Obviously, there are little people, but who we spend time with throughout life. So number one, do you have friends who sharpen? Proverbs 27:17. I'm gonna go through these fast. So you can kind of know there's a form there, so you might wanna jot down those verses so that you have verses. I want you to have verses. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Do you have friends who mentor? Titus 2, older women, so train the younger women. It doesn't mean that, hey, will you be my friend so I can mentor you? That is not what this is about. This is about loving people, and it happens naturally. Natural mentorship. I have friends that are in their 20s. I have friends in their 30s. I have friends in their 40s, 50s, 60s. I have friends all different ages for a reason, because they help me. They challenge me. The younger ones especially, man. I'm supposed to be investing. They challenge me. They convict me in my own walk with the Lord. Do you have friends who mentor? Do you have friends who need friends? Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Number four, do you have friends who need salvation? Are you mindful of the lost? Do you care about the lost? Colossians 4, 5, and 6, we're to walk in wisdom towards outsiders. That's the non-believers, making the best use of our time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person in the grocery store, wherever you're out and about. Are you careful? Are you mindful that I am a Christian? I am a picture of Christ in Target today, in Walmart, in Costco. Think through that. You are. But do you have friends that need salvation? Five, do you have friends that need to part with? Friends that pull you down, that influence you in a negative way. 1 Corinthians 15:33, you know it by heart. Bad company corrupts good morals or ruins good morals. Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. That's that mentoring piece. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. So what practical changes do I need to make, so that we are investing in the right people for the right amount of time? A wise woman cares about how she walks and with whom she walks. Taking time to evaluate your friendships is important. And I guarantee you do this with your kids. You care about who hangs with your kids. Do you care about who you hang with? Do you care about the influence your friends have on your kids? It goes both ways. Have you thought about how you influence those children? how you're loving and showing Christ to them. Lastly, in order to make the most use of our time and imbibe every moment for God's glory, we must cultivate humility. This is key number one, right? I think I saw that in Eleni's heart this morning as she shared in her testimony that that's kind of what it takes. It takes us humbling ourselves and realizing that we need to grow in this area. There's five traits of a humble woman. Humble women see their need for wisdom. That's a really small font, but Proverbs 9, write it down. I know I could barely see it too. Proverbs 9. Basically, it's saying that wisdom has created a table, a banquet, I think of the tea, this beautiful place, and says to all those out there, come, eat, dine. And when we say, I got it, I know what to do. I know what to do with my infant. I know how to love my husband. I know how to love my children. No. A foolish woman does that. A humble woman sees their need for wisdom. Okay, number two. So you got to come to a wisdom's banquet table. Number two, humble women trust God. Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Common verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. Why? Because it's going to be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And we won't be gripped with fear and anxiety if we trust the Lord and keep trusting him day by day. This is a daily thing. Three, humble women make disciples. They take the command to invest in others seriously. Jesus calls his followers ambassadors, calls them to be ambassadors for Christ. All right? So, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God, making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We want to make disciples with our children. We need to, in our home, community, church. We'll avoid desires for worldly things when we make it a point to call others into a relationship with Jesus. Four, humble women want to be discipled. Titus 2. Commands both younger and older. We need older women. We need younger women in our lives. Cultivating humility means you open yourself up to others who have walked in your shoes. I don't like the role of an older woman. I do, but I don't. There's a serious call to me, and there's a serious call to you. We both have to take those roles seriously. Pouring out and pouring into. Lastly, humble women long for heaven. But our citizenship, ladies, is in heaven, not here on earth. And from it, we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't our home, okay? And I know there's no greater desire than you and I have than to carry as many people up to heaven with us, including our kids, including our families. So that is the goal, heaven. But we get caught up in this world. And so I would just say, don't get caught up in this world. Have a plan. Fix it on Christ. Practice it. Prepare. Redeeming the time we have every day is not complicated. It's really not. Complex, yes. But not complicated. You can do this. But God's grace is sufficient, right? His power is perfected in our weakness. You're not a planner. God can change you. Our God is so merciful and gracious to give us today, to live for his glory. We can't buy up the hour that just, we can't get it back. So we have to think through what we do. Don't be a waster of time, but a redeemer of time. And remember too, it's not our time, it's God's, okay? A gift to be good stewards of. So let me pray really quick and we'll get into our small groups, okay? Lord, I pray for each of us here that you would teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We want to be women who seek you first. And we know that all these things will be added to us when we do seek you first. You are our provider, our protector, our caretaker. You love us. You love our children more than we could love our children. We want to be moms who are intentionally training and teaching our kids and making them the priority that you've designed them to be. We thank you for our husbands. For those of us that have them, that we would be mindful that you've called us to love them and like them and plan to love them. Lord, most importantly, we want to plan to love you and make you the most important. We know that in your presence there is fullness of joy And at your right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. Forevermore. There's nothing greater than sitting at your feet. And we long to do that well so that we could be a blessing to our families and to our church body and to the community. And we do this in your strength and in your grace and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.